we need to make sure that we set up those accounts so as soon as we get any money in, we're portioning it out to those accounts that benefit us first, so we know that we're healthy, the business is healthy, and that we don't have to feel stressed, because if we feel stressed, everyone around us feels stressed too.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everyone? I got a great guest today, but before I get into that, a little housekeeping, as always. If you found any value out of this episode, I only have one fee. And that fee is for you to either leave a rating and review and or share this with someone who you also think could get value from this episode. That's how we get to more ears and eyes and how this gets out to the masses. And that's why I do this, is just help others and network with really cool people. So also, if you ever want to connect, the best way to get a hold of me is either on Instagram at Sean O. Wins or simply search Sean Winslow on LinkedIn. Those are the two best places where I'm most active. All right, today's episode, we got a solid one for Finance Friday. We've got our guest. His name is David Richter. He is a former, I'm sure he still does invest, but formerly his primary job was investing in real estate. I believe on the single family side, he might've done a little bit of multi, but he was doing about 30 transactions a month at one point, and then realized that he was spending more than what those 30 transactions were bringing in. He was just on this, still stuck in that rat race. The reason why a lot of people get into real estate is to get out of the rat race, out of that 9-to-5 job we're just stuck in. And he realized he was kind of just doing the same thing in his real estate business. It just happened to be that he was working for himself, but he was still on that proverbial wheel, just spinning and spinning. And that's when he decided to make a change and to really get his finances in order, pay himself first. And you guys have heard me talk about this before. I talked about this on, and that's episode 18, Financial Freedom, Pay Yourself First. And it's part 5 of 6 of my Financial Freedom series. And if you have not heard that series, it's a great one. I always get a lot of positive feedback on that. So if you haven't listened to that series before, that starts on episode 10. But that's one you should check out. It's about paying yourself first. And David talks about this, and it goes back to the book Profit First. If you haven't read that, I highly recommend it. It's for business owners that how to set up a financial structure so you can get out of the rat race. It's all about paying yourself first. And David talks about this. It's about an equation, right? You know, as real estate investors, we love formulas and equations. Generally, when you're talking about accounting, it's revenue minus expenses equals your profit, right? That's how traditionally we're taught. But how the original author of Profit First, he talks about that it should be revenue. So your sales, your revenue minus your profit equals your expenses. Simply put, you pay yourself first, and then everything else, if you're diligent enough and have the right steps and procedures in place, everything else should fall into place, meaning you know your expense level that you have to hit and you can't go above. And obviously, this takes some planning, right? You got to set some goals. As David, you'll hear in the episode, calls it your North Star. You've got to set that and you work up to that number, because obviously, you can't just say, I want to make $1 million a year. One, if you don't have the revenue to justify that, it's not going to happen. But two, even if you did, but not enough to cover your expenses, you still couldn't do that, right? So you have to set your goals first and then gradually work up to them. So that's what this episode's about, because David wrote a book. He was able to buy the intellectual property from the first author of Profit First, and he wrote Profit First for Real Estate Investing. So this is targeted, tailored towards real estate investors and how to set up your business so you can achieve that financial freedom. Your financial goals, you can achieve them. And so we get into that. He talks about, first, there's got to be a mindset shift. That's what has to take place first. That mindset shift of going from that first formula I stated to the revenues minus profit equals expenses, and being able to pay yourself first and then not touch it. That's the key. Don't go back to later like, oh, I need to grab some from here to go into my operating account. Like, that's not how you do it. So you got to get that mindset first. And then we dive into actionable steps that you can take to set this up. So really good episode. Highly recommend it. And it's something that everyone should be implementing. We not only implement this from our like holdings company, like Greenbrier Capital Group, our operations holding company, but we also implement this at a property level. Now, this is not necessarily going to work for smaller multis and single family. I wouldn't advise doing that because that's just too much. But if you're taking down big properties, say you get up to 10 large multifamily properties at a time, that's very doable. So we implement at a property level. There's a lot in this episode, so I highly recommend paying attention, taking some notes. But without further ado, here is David. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
No, I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I know you're a busy guy. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, let's get your origin story, because everyone likes to hear that. What have you done in the past to get to you where you are today?
Yeah, my origin story, I was bit by a spider. Just kidding.
Yes, I've been waiting to meet Peter Parker.
Right. No, I've been in real estate for about the last 10 years because I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when someone handed that to me in college. So that was my spider bite, basically. So that's the book that changed a lot of my mindset versus just going to college, getting a good job, going out into the workforce. So never could think that way again, and got into real estate. Saw a lot of stuff in real estate. We did over 850 deals, and between wholesale, turnkey, fix and flip, everything that you can think of as an exit strategy. So I got to see a lot. And one of the things that I saw over and over again was a lot of people could make money. Like, we were doing 30 deals a month at our highest point, which was awesome. But we were all spending like more than 30 deals a month at our highest point as well too. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, why are we even doing this if we're going to spend just as much as we're making or more than we're making? That was really eye-opening to me. That's kind of what got me down the path of the financial side. I really dug into the numbers of that business and sat in the financial seat for a while too. And that was really eye-opening to see that the numbers tell the story. And like, obviously in this place, it was a rough story. It was more of a horror story of like, why are we even doing this if we're going to do barely make any profit every single month? And that's what got me down the path of even looking into the finances and what they could unlock, because through a series of events, the real estate company I was working with at that time, I also built a small portfolio for my own and sold all those properties a few years ago and moved across the country, started partnering with another investor in a different area of the country. First thing I said though to him was like, show me your numbers, like show me your books. Like, I want to see, like, cause those won't lie. Cause up to this point, now I had the knowledge to be even to know what's important to a business and what the business runs off of. And I knew right away I needed to know those numbers. Like, I needed to see them. Well, he was like most investors, it was a total mess going into the numbers, and like, it wasn't in the right place. I couldn't tell the story. It was almost like the last page was on the first page. It was like a jumbled up story. So after straightening that out over a couple months, we got to dive into the actual numbers, and I saw it was profitable, it was healthy, and we were able to actually now direct the money to where it needed to go. And he knew how much he was spending every month, how much he was making. He also knew at this point too where all of his cash was sitting, because he had like a lot of money he had poured into his portfolio. So he was only leveraged at like 30%, meaning he had like 70% equity in his whole portfolio that he had. And it wasn't a huge one, but enough to be able to pull out several hundred thousand dollars after knowing where the money is. So we did that. We did a big refinance, put some cash in his pocket, lots of cash, like several hundred thousand dollars worth for him. And it was like $400,000 or $500,000. And then he came to me and said, like, this has been life changing. Like, now I know where my all the money's going out, where it's coming in, where my cash was sitting. Like, it was just mind blowing to him what the numbers unlocked for him. That to me was the other spark. So I've got several origin stories. First was like real estate. And then the second was, I've got to help people know what the numbers unlock and help them get just that same spark that he had of like, wow, now that I know these numbers, like, what can't I do? Like, I can adjust them, I can change them, I can either bring more revenue in, or do I need to cut something over here? Or, you know, like, if I buy another rental, like, what kind of loan am I going to get? It just unlocked a lot for him. That's why I started the business that I have now. That got me down the road of Profit First. Like, once I told one of my mentors I was starting the business, he said, have you read Profit First? I said, no. He said, please read that book. I think you're really going to like it. I read it all in one night, 10 pages of notes I took. This was an awesome book. So I said, great framework for the entrepreneur or business owner to manage every dollar that comes through their hands. And so we started implementing it. And that's where the next origin story of like how I wrote Profit First for real estate investing was a year later, after implementing the system and after reading the book and implementing it with dozens of real estate investors, went back to Mike Mikowicz, the author, and said, hey, I'm a real estate investor. I've seen it work, your system, over and over again, but there's a lot of nuances that we're putting in there for real estate that are specific to the investing world. So I bought the intellectual property from him to write Profit First for Real Estate Investing, and now the book is out, and that's kind of a progression from the last 10 years of being in real estate, seeing the numbers and what those unlock, and then actually trying to get this message out to people like, pay yourself first, make sure you're profitable, make sure your business is healthy, that type of message from the Profit First book and that whole philosophy.
Oh, that's amazing, man. And that the Profit First book was life-changing for me too. I read that, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, and it just changed my mindset completely on not only how to operate a business, but how to operate your personal finances as well.
Yeah,
I think it's used for both, right? Yeah. I've had an episode, a solo episode, that I've talked about Profit First. And listeners, I'll link it in the show notes if you haven't heard that one. But to me, that's life-changing. When you think of it, what the term says, Profit First, when you think of it that way, paying yourself first, and you're diligent about it, everything else falls in place the way it should. And I feel like that's the downfall of a lot of real estate investors and just business owners and operators in general, is that they're not following the money. They're saying it'll just figure itself out. We just got to sell more, or buy more, whatever business you're in. And that's not the truth. So I would love to dig into this, because this book, listeners, Profit First for Real Estate Investing, is just as it sounds. It's for real estate investors specifically. And as I told David, I bought this book probably, I don't know, a month ago or so, and it's next on the list. So I'm looking forward to really reading it, because as I said, the original Profit First was a game changer for me. But I'd love to dive into, obviously, just we're going to give an overview because we're not going to go into everything, because they need to buy the book for that.
Yeah.
I would love to just like why a real estate investor should use this and how it can change not only their business, but their life.
Yeah, I think what you said hit the nail on the head. Most people just run around thinking, if I do more deals, if I bring more revenue in, everything else works itself out.
Yeah.
And in a good market like we've had for the last 14 years, that is the case. If you just keep getting another deal, if you just keep closing it, that will help. That will be good to keep bringing the revenue in, and it hides a lot of the mistakes. But if you run into any snags, not even a recession, but like just in your business or in your personal life, then that's when the next deal just doesn't cover it. You know, it's like you can run that way if everything's good, everything's smooth sailing, but we know that's not life. Life doesn't just work out smooth sailing all the time. So things are going to pop up. And I call it in the book, the real estate rat race. Like you have to be chasing that next deal. It's almost like with the W-2 job. If you read Robert Kiyosaki's books, he's like, if you have a W-2 job and you get a paycheck, you're paying the government first. Like they take out your taxes before anything else. So even if you try to pay yourself first, you really can't, because the government takes their portion. Well, that's what's different about the real estate investing world or entrepreneurship, is you get to dictate that before you pay taxes. Do you have to pay taxes? Yes. If you have rentals, so you can offset a lot of that or get it as close to zero as possible. But it's different being that entrepreneur, that real estate investor. And that's where if you do have a W-2 job, this will still apply to you, because there's still the principles, the concepts, the core habits that you can build inside of Profit First and the framework and the structure to help get you to where you want to be. But as far as real estate investing goes, we have to know that just because you jump from a full-time W-2 job into real estate does not make you that entrepreneur and that business owner. Now, it's a huge step, and like give yourself a pat on the back for taking that leap. But now there's things you have to learn. And as a business owner, where you might have some bad habits from being a W-2 employer, from going to a job or those types of things, or maybe you just have bad money habits from the past. It might be something from like growing up, the middle class mindset or mindsets that you've never heard before. That's why I like Profit First so much, because it's just a crystal clear message on how wealthy people become wealthy. Notice I said wealthy, not rich. Like this is not a get rich quick scheme. This is not like, oh, you're going to be like untold, fabulously rich, you know, like with this. What you're going to do is build wealth, like true wealth, over as fast as you can do deals, basically. So if you're doing a ton of deals, you can build the wealth very quickly. If you're like doing the deals once a month or once a year, like you'll still build the wealth, but this is more of a wealth building tool, and it's a very simple tool. So the first thing, besides the rat race that we've talked about, the first thing that I always tell people, and I even put this in the book before the actual steps, is I want you to know what you even need to get out of your rat race. Because in your W-2 job, it was really easy. It's like, I've got the paycheck coming in consistently, and I've got, these are my monthly expenses. But if you've never done that, maybe you didn't ever do that in your W-2 job, or when you jumped into real estate, you didn't know. How much do you need to bring in? Is it $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month just to live your lifestyle? A lot of people don't even know that number. Like, what does the business need to provide for me in order for me to be covered and to not have to worry about the pressure all the time of bringing the deals in? So like getting what I call your need number first. What do I need? What do I need for me to exit the rat race, the true rat race? Like if you thought going from W-2 to business owner was exiting it, it was one step in the process. The next step is knowing what you need in order to exit. Like what is that a month that your business provides? Because if your business doesn't, then you have a hobby. You know, it's like you don't have that real business yet if your business isn't providing on a regular basis. So when you first jump in, that's okay. It might just be like, I need to hustle, grind it out, like get this money in. But on a consistent basis in the future, well, what do we need to be bringing in from our wholesale deals or multifamily syndication deals or like from our rentals or whatever it might be? So that would be the first step, is knowing what that number is. Then I also tell people as a bonus, like get a want number too. If your need number is $10,000 a month, then what would $20,000 do for you, or $40,000 a month, like to yourself? Like then it gets exciting, because that's usually, if people just have what they're covered, it's usually a weight off their shoulders. But then if they think about, what if I could bring in $20,000 a month or double what I think I need, then it's like, now there's financial freedom. Then you can save it, spend it, like use it on investments and getting a bigger net worth. This is where you have money now to be able to go out and do the things you wanted to do, why you started your business. Like no one started their business to be a cash eating expense monster. You know, people started the business to actually attain that financial freedom. So that's some of the first things that I talk about. Then if you want to, I can go into the actual, like what Profit First is all about and like the mindset and the, some of the practical steps there. But I always like telling about that need number first, because a lot of people don't give themselves that North Star of like, this is right, what I need to be shooting for first to make sure I'm getting out of the rat race. Because if I feel like I always need that next deal, I make decisions out of fear and not for my purpose. Like I'm always making sure that, oh, if I don't have that deal closing, then, you know, like we've got to do it, even if it's a slim deal or whatever it might be. That's a dangerous place to be as a business owner. You're basically now a motivated seller in your business.
And once you have that need, that want number, I like how you refer to it as the North Star, or just a goal, right? If you don't have that, like you're not going to know where you're heading. You're not going to know where the money's going. You're not going to know what is the my best next step to get towards my need and want and goal. And yeah, I'm glad you shared that. But yeah, let's jump into, because I know in the Profit First, the original book, it's about setting up that mindset and that structure, like an actual structure, so it's clear and it's repeatable. So if you wouldn't mind jumping into that and Profit First mindset, but how you can actually set it up for, so this episode's about multifamily investing. So whether that's syndicating or taking these down by yourself, how would you do that?
So let's talk about that thought process or mindset first. It's a formula. And I know we love our formulas, especially in the multifamily and the real estate investing world, right? Let's make a spreadsheet. But the typical formula we hear from people is sales minus expenses equals profit, meaning I make a sale, I pay everyone else and their mother, and then hopefully I have something left over at the end of the day. Like I just get to squeak by with that profit. And in the future, whether that's a year or 10 years, maybe it'll all be worth it. That's kind of like what's baked into us and what we think comes naturally. Like that makes sense, doesn't it? It does if you've never been taught these principles. If you haven't internalized some of the books that you've read before, it makes sense like to go that route. But I want to teach you how to actually be wealthy, how to put more dollars in your pocket. And that mindset, that formula, the Profit First formula, is sales minus profit equals expenses. Meaning I make a sale, I take that profit first off the table, just like in a W-2 job, how the IRS takes your taxes off the table first. Now you're taking your profit off the table first, and then you have your expenses left over. That's the last of the equation, is like, okay, these are what I have left over in order to grow the business, which is a subtle shift. But it's very key, because we have to know that we have profitability. We have to know that the business we're building is profitable. We are not, unless you're a nonprofit, which still needs to make profit, it just goes different places. But in a profit, for-profit business, that's why you have the business. You might have a specific why or a reason for the business. Like, I wanted to help this many people, or I want to make this much, but whatever it might be. But the business is there to make a profit. Like, that's the purpose of the business. And then you use those profits to do what your purpose in life is, you know, like, or to do more of it. So we have to make sure the business is profitable so you can direct those profits where you want to direct them, whether that be vacations with your family, a new car, boat, like whatever it is. So the practical steps, though, once we have that mindset, is one of the biggest mistakes. I'll start with the biggest mistake and go into the steps. One of the biggest mistakes I see in general entrepreneurialism or humans or real estate investors is having one big bank account where all money comes in, all money goes out, and just like tossing a cash salad like all the time. Like, I have no idea. Like, oh, there's something that we need to spend on. Do we have it in the account? Okay, spend it. Over here, spend it. It's like, it's just all the time, in and out, just making decisions. You're like, oh, I need to take some money out for myself. And you see the account and you're like, I wonder if I have enough in there, or if like stuff is going to run and auto payments and all that. And like, can I take it out? And there's just a lot of anxiety, no clarity, no control over the cash in your business when you have that one account. So profit first is built off of two core concepts. Number one, bank balance accounting. Like, you as an entrepreneur and real estate investor look at your bank accounts way more, and your like banking apps on your phone way more than you look at like a QuickBooks app or your finance software. So like, we need to leverage what you're already doing. You're already making those decisions off that one bank account and saying like, okay, do I have money in there? Good, let's spend it. Oh man, I hope I don't overdraft tomorrow. So that's where, let's utilize that and say, okay, I want to be able to look at my bank accounts and see where my money is. And then the second principle is the modernized envelope system. Like, the second part of that system is the modernized envelope system. Like, Dave Ramsey's made that very popular. Love him or hate him, he's made it very popular in the personal finance world. And it's also something that's been around for a long time. You stick money in different envelopes and give those envelopes a name. And when you're out of the money, it's out for that month or week or whatever. Well, same concept we want to set up here. I want you to set up multiple bank accounts that are named specifically for different types of things, but specifically for you, the business owner. So this goes for, I don't care if you're in multifamily, if you're in single family, if you're a real estate agent, whatever it might be, there's some key foundational bank accounts that you should set up no matter what. So what are those bank accounts? I call them, the first three are the golden trio to me. And the Golden Trio, because I love Harry Potter and Star Wars, like all those fun, big epic saga movies that always have the three main heroes, right? Luke, Han, Leia, Harry, Ron, Hermione. They're always pushing the story forward for good. You need three main heroes pushing your story for good because your business is your epic saga. Those multifamily buildings that you're buying, or like syndications that you're investing in, that's part of your legacy. Like, you might hand that down to your children one day, or you might sell in the future and that might be like your big exit or whatever it might be. So for you, that's your legacy and that's your epic saga story, just like that. So you need three main heroes always pushing your story for good. What are those three heroes? Number one account, profit. Number two, owner's pay. And number three, owner's tax. So those are the three golden trio of accounts, the three heroes to make sure you don't go broke. That's, so many people are making money in real estate, but they feel broke all the time, especially in multifamily. You know, it's like, when are we going to see our returns? When am I going to get my money back? Well, we need to make sure that we set up those accounts so as soon as we get any money in, we're portioning it out to those accounts that benefit us first. So we know that we're healthy, the business is healthy, and that we don't have to feel stressed, because if we feel stressed, everyone around us feels stressed too, our spouses, our children, our business partners, our employees. So that's why one of the big reasons is not for you to be selfish, it's for you to be unselfish. Because if you are taking care of, you can think more of, how can I help others? If you're always struggling for air, you're not going to be able to help other people as well too. Just like on a plane, put your mask on first, right? The making sure you're getting the oxygen. So those three accounts, different between profit and owner's account. Profit is the icing on the cake that you take once a quarter, up to 50% out of there. And then there's the owner's comp, or the owner's pay account, which is making sure you're paid on a consistent basis. And I like to call this account the get out of the rat race account. Like, are we filling that account up enough? Whether if you're doing a multifamily deal and you get a big lump sum in, or if you're doing residential or whatever it might be, then are you filling up that owner's pay account with enough to pay yourself on a consistent basis? Like, if it's $10,000 a month, do you have $10,000 in there a month consistently to pay yourself? Or have you built a little runway, like 3 months, and you have $30,000 in there, you've got several months worth. So that's where building that account up, those two accounts are very important. I always get the question between those two. Owner's taxes, if you know you're going to pay taxes at the end of the year, well, you know, I know multifamily and all those syndications and a lot of that, those are there to pay as little taxes as possible. But if you have any active income and you're not going to be totally offset with your passive investments or your multifamily deals, then setting up that account to pay the IRS versus you bringing money from your personal pocketbook to pay the business taxes. So that's where I like that one as well too. It's just getting you in the rhythm of making sure from any money that comes in, we're taking care of what matters first, the profitability and the health of the company. So that way the whole business feels it, the owner's comp to make sure the owner feels it, and then owner's tax so they don't have to worry in the future for taxes. So those are three core accounts that I make sure that we set up with anyone we work with, whether they're multifamily or not, because we want them to get into the habit. Profit first is all about making profit a habit. Of when something happens, an income event happens in your business, whether you sell, you get passive income, you get rental income, whatever it might be, that you get that income in, that you know where to put it, that's going to have the best bang for those bucks. Like that we're making sure we're taking care of. And that's what wealthy people do. That's the secret to true wealth building, is that you are making sure that there's always that percentage that goes towards profitability and what you can pay you, and making sure that you are covered. Because if you do that, especially if you just get, and people ask all the time, when do I start this system? Like if you're jumping into multifamily now, I'd start it right away. If you're in residential, like start that right now. Like start it as soon as possible because you're building the habit. It's not just an accounting hack or system. It's more of, I need to build this habit as a human being. Because I tell a lot of people too, I don't know if any of your listeners are thinking about getting into multifamily and they might be still in a W-2 job or a high income earner. I would admonish them, like there's the three accounts in the business that I want you to set up. Well, if you're in a W-2 position wanting to go to and passively invest in the syndications, or if you want to get into real estate at all, set up a freedom account. Set up a freedom account in your personal life. Start socking money in there from every dollar that you make in your W-2 job. And then that could be like to invest in the syndications and multifamily. Or that could be like, if I fill this up with like 6 months worth of reserves for personal expenses for me, then I'm going to walk away from my job. It's like that will give you the freedom to get into, you know, like what you want to do besides that job. So I always tell people that as well. Then one other account I would set up is an income account, just as a holding bucket. So that way where all the money comes in, you're not mixing it in with your operational expenses. Like you already have the bad guy of the business when you first start your business. It's the operational expense account. That's the one where all your auto pay subscription payments come out of, and like where you're paying everyone from is your OPEX account. Well, now separate out an income account to have all deposits go in there, because once those deposits come in, then you push them out to the golden trio of accounts first. So you have income come into the income account, then you push it out to the profit, owner's pay, and the owner's tax accounts first, and then you transfer the rest to OPEX, and then you're able to pay all the rest of the stuff. So that's the foundation of profit first, and those are the foundational accounts. In the book, I talk a lot of the other accounts inside of real estate, which if you are in multifamily or even on the residential side, and you're taking money from other investors. So I guess it depends on where you are in the multifamily. Like if you're just investing with people, or if you're like the sponsor, or like the operator, like taking money from others, I would have a separate account called OPM, other people's money. So that way, when you get money that comes in, that's not for to run the day-to-day of the business, but for specific deals, you're not mingling in with the rest of the money that's there for your profitability, for your operational expenses. Like I would separate that money out for what it's intended for. So that's one that saved a lot of people's headaches, heartaches, and their private lenders' funds as well too, to help them not to get into a Ponzi scheme of like using this lender's funds for this other deal that came over here because I was already out of funds. So it's like making sure you have that OPM account. And then in the multifamily space too.
What we usually do on that is we'll have them wire it to an escrow account with our attorney.
Awesome.
And then it'll just sit there. So there's no questions asked about what the money's doing, where it's going. It's just sitting there until we fund it on close day.
And if you don't have that option, or if your escrow company doesn't do that, or if you haven't been doing that, OPM account is a great alternative to that. It's like, right, wire it to this account so that way it's not mingled in. So that way you're not tempted to touch it. But if you get it into the escrow company too, that's a great place to hold it. That way you've got a little less control there with it, but because it's in someone, all the crazy stories that you hear, but it's still a great spot for it to have it, not versus like mingled with your own money. So No, I absolutely love that as well too. Just making sure it's separated out.
Right. No questions. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I've also seen in the multifamily, because I've interviewed several people on the Profit First REI podcast that I have as well, as, and we've had some multifamily syndicators on there, and they say they love Profit First because whatever side of the deal that they're on, making sure that once it's their money, that they are portioning that out, because it's usually hunting elephants, like they've said. Yeah. We're hunting elephants here, so it's almost more important than the single family side, because single family, like, you could wholesale the deals or flip them and you could have a pipeline.
You're churning a lot.
Or if you have rentals like that are on a monthly basis coming in, like, until you get to that point in the syndication, like, it depends on how they get paid and how this it's all structured. But if you're hunting the elephant, you might have to take money in and then make sure I'm covered until the next deal comes in. Yep. Then it's almost like Profit First is more important for you because it's going to help you not touch the money, or it's at least going to let you know, like, oh man, we're getting really low in these accounts. Do I have at least 2 months more in my OPEX account before, like, the next deal comes through or whatever it might be? It's just a great visual indicator for investors to be able to see, this is how much money I have in these accounts. This is what it's for. Now I can kind of plan out, do I have enough before the next deal hits?
That's so true.
A great planning system as well too.
That's so true. When I was starting out syndicating, like you said, you're hunting elephants. And when you're new, you're not going to be taking down as many in a year as you would be once you're more established. So we took our first down and we got a chunk of the acquisition fee, which was great, business changing at that time. But to your point, we didn't know when the next one was going to come. And when you're doing a value add deal, you're traditionally most likely not going to see any cash flow for at least a year, because you're paying your investors first, then everything else you're keeping in reserves while you're bringing vacancy down while you turn the units. So you're generally not seeing any cash flow from the property unless you have a, you'll get some of the asset management, but that's really small. So if you're solely just like a capital raiser and not asset managing and not getting paid, then you're not going to see any money
right,
other than the acquisition fees. Like David said, you got to make sure that you have this planned out for, say you don't think you'll get another deal for 6 months. Maybe it's even 12 months. You got to be planned out that money you took in from the acquisition fee is going to cover yourself for that amount of time. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Something we see over and over again. It's just making sure you can cover it during those times. So if you think it's 6 months, maybe give yourself 9 to 12 months of reserve, so you know that you can at least be covered during that time. But that's why I love the system. It's adaptable to what the investor needs. Like for a multifamily person and syndicator, it is more of a planning tool than like the churn and burn is more like, okay, I'm just managing the cash as it comes in. It's a great cash flow tool. On the multifamily side, it's a great visual planning tool as well too, to say, this is how much I have in those accounts. I need to break this down. What does it translate into of how many months I now have in the different reserves? Or like, if I need to draw some for myself, how much do I have for myself?
Yeah, that's so true. We actually do this on a property level too. So awesome. We don't operate as a fund. We syndicate per deal,
okay,
individual private placement per deal. And so we'll set it up, the bank accounts. I think we have about 6 different bank accounts per property. So we took it from Profit First, right? So we segregate everything from obviously operating expenses. Then we have what we're going to pay our investors, what we're going to pay ourselves in a different account. Then we have obviously reserves for vacancy maintenance. And then we have reserves for insurance, taxes. And I think I'm forgetting something else. But yeah, we separate per property. And I think that has the world of difference to us. Because like you said, if you just have it in one or two accounts, you don't know what's supposed to go where, what's coming in. It's just, this has helped so much.
Yeah. And entrepreneurs, business owners, real estate investors, like, we're usually more visual than, okay, like, let me just write this down, or like, let me listen to this, or like, let me go dive into QuickBooks and separate all this stuff out. That's not the entrepreneur. They just want to see, do we have money here? We do. Okay, good. You know, it's like, that's the other thing. The big part of this is, I love what you do. Like, set up those 6 accounts. You and your team know what those are for. And like, if they're getting low, this is what we can do. It's like, you're able to put those plans in place. So you know, like, oh man, we're getting low here. But then it becomes that warning light and indicator. Or it's the green light of like, hey, this is going well. We're going to get more deals in. Like, we're getting another deal in, or like, we're getting cash flow and everything is going great here for where we are right now. So it's a great visual tool.
Yeah. Oh, the other one was CapEx.
CapEx. There you go. Yes. CapEx. Always make sure you have those. Yep.
Yeah. So I guess next, what would you if it was someone newer investing in multifamily, whether it's syndicating or not, what would be kind of the first couple action steps they should take? Obviously, once that mindset clicks, I think to me, that's the biggest thing. Once you change from revenue minus expenses equals profit to revenue minus profit equals expenses,
yep,
that's huge. Once you do that, what are kind of the first steps? Should it be structuring these bank accounts first? And one of the things that I loved in the first book, the way he explained it, and I'm sure you might do the same thing, is that those personal accounts, when I say personal, I mean like the profit, the owners pay, owners taxes, specifically the, I believe it was the profit, he would have it at a different bank account that was harder to get to. So because it's just human nature, like, oh, I'm low over here, I'll just steal some from my profit to cover that.
Right.
He would say like, go to a different bank account that your other accounts aren't at and don't even get a debit card. Make it extremely hard to, and not an online account, make it extremely hard to actually get the money out. I don't know if you did something similar.
I talk about that a little in the book. My book is more about just set it up and get it started.
Yeah.
And like, I totally get that because it's like, we work with a lot of people who have started setting up profit first, but they didn't set up those accounts at different banks. And they've always just been touching the money. They're like, we steal from ourselves all the time because, oh, a deal comes in. And then they're wondering why they're running out of money all the time too. And it's like, we got to set up the system to make sure that you're not running out of money all the time, feeling this stress all the time. Like, I know great deals come through and we want to get the money, but sometimes leaving the money there and having access to lenders and other people and using OPM and them seeing like you got a good cash position leverages you for better deals and terms on the lending side too. So that's where it's like, get those accounts in place. So like you asked, first step, yes, get those accounts in place, because sometimes the mindset doesn't come until you see the steps working. So get the bank accounts in place, start funding them, start getting those habits in place, and then you'll see like, oh man, we just did this deal and now like we got the acquisition fee and now we've got like 6 or 12 months of reserves here. Like, this is awesome. I can be good until this next deal comes in and I don't have to worry. That's a different level of being an entrepreneur and business owner. That's where you're getting to the level of, wow, I believe that I am capable of running the business and the finances, which a lot of entrepreneurs have that hang up in their head of like, that's just for financial people. But it's such a key skill for the entrepreneur to learn, at least at this level of, hey, at least we're taken care of. I don't have to worry about the cash position, or I don't have to worry about this if, so long as we have this set up and we're keeping these amounts in it. And then I'm going to have indicators long before then. So yes, step one, set up at least the foundational accounts. I like how Sean does it for the different properties. Like, if you have bigger properties and you want to do it per property on the multifamily side, that's great. If you're in residential, like, I would not do it per residential unit that you have, because then you will just have like 1,000 bank accounts if you're building a huge portfolio. But I like what Sean does on the multifamily side, which is setting it up the foundational accounts and like the specific accounts for the passive or the multifamily syndication type deal, which I actually talk about in Profit First. I'd separate out wholesale fix and flip versus rental long-term investing. And one of those accounts is CapEx in there. So go into greater detail on those sides and like, what are the specific accounts for those types of investments too. So it would be setting those up, number one. Then number two, whenever you get money inside your income account, you transfer it out to those three golden trio accounts first.
Yep.
Profit, owner's pay. And people always ask, what percentage? I always tell people, start with where you are. Where are you right now? If you can't hit the goal or the targets, because in the Profit First original book and my book, we give targets for like different size business that you are. These are the percentages you should think about going for as goals to be able to transfer into those different accounts. And a lot of people say, well, I can't hit the goal. It's like, well, start where you are right now. Can you do at least 1% to profit? Like, up to this point, if you've just been running super heavy expenses, number one, it's going to tell you that right away just from using this system. And then number two, it's like, how can we start with where we are and then incrementally each quarter get better on our percentages? So number one, set up the account. Number two, start transferring into those accounts with what you can do. And then number three, reap the benefits of the system. Like, start actually taking money out, like, of the profit account or of your owner's pay and like doing the things that you want to do, and also making sure the business is okay. Like, how much months of reserves do you want? Like, we've talked about here already. Like, start reaping those benefits of why you started the business. Then I always tell people too, if you're like, this sounds like way too much or don't want to do this, start with one account at least. profit and transfer at least 1%, like start and get the habit down. I want you to get the habit down of being profitable. Then if you're like, hey, I need help here, that's why I have the business too. We have a fractional CFO business that implements profit first and helps people with it as well too, because a lot of people do come to us and say, hey, we've tried setting this up, but like we keep stealing from ourselves, so we need accountability, or we don't know how to track it, or like you have a CFO dashboard, we'd love to implement that in our like into our company, so that way we know where all the money's flowing and where it's going. So that's the other piece too. That's like a bonus number four, or like 3.2, whatever. It's like, if you need someone to help guide you from that, or you know, like to actually set it all up, there's also good people out there. We're not the only people, but of course, like with the book and stuff, at least pick up the book and get that information. I just want to make sure there's no excuse now, if you're listening to this, not to be wealthy and not to build a good habit that will last you the rest of your life as a human being, not just as a business owner, but as a human, of like knowing this type of system, that it works in your personal life, like you've mentioned, Shauna, several times, and then works in multifamily space and the single family space, like just in business in general as well too.
Yeah, especially now with where we are with inflation, energy prices going through the roof, it's even more important to know where your money's going. And to your point of what you made earlier, it'll help you be less stressful. And then that leaks into the rest of your life and it just better. So man, I couldn't agree more. One question before I get into the end of the show, when you're picking, like you obviously have that North Star, say it's 20 grand a month, that North Star number.
Yeah.
But you know, you're not there yet. And because you're starting out, how should you gradually scale to that? Do you have any kind of like tips on that, of like where you should start out, like a percentage you should be taking before you get to that North Star?
So for that, when our business, we call it a profit first assessment and rollout plan. I know Mike has something in his book. In my book, at the end of it, we have an assessment, which I put it at the end, like in the index, because not many people are going to go through and actually do that exercise.
Yeah.
It's very detailed. But we do that. We see where are you right now and like how many quarters would it take us to get there if we gradually increase your percentage, or like where you are right now, or how many deals is that, or like what do you have if you're in multifamily, like what kind of pipeline do you have right now and what are we expecting, so that way if you get some of this in, can you take the 20,000 a month for 12 months and you'll still be okay because you've gotten enough in to be able to fund your owner's pay account with that amount. That's why I love this system, is you can fund the money into those accounts and see how many months do I have in there. If it's 20,000 a month and you have 60,000, you know that's only one quarter's worth. Right. Are you going to do a deal over the next quarter or not? So that's where we tell people, try and get that number there as soon as possible. So if you are the owner and you have to cut some of the expenses, or maybe instead of like 15% profitability, you go down to like 2 or 3% to fund the owner's comp more. Because we want to make sure you're getting out of your rat race, you're getting to that North Star number as soon as possible. That's how we usually admonish people we work with, is like, where can we cut in these other percentages or other buckets, these other accounts, to make sure you're taken care of? Because we've seen it over and over again. We've mentioned a lot of times here, if we can get the owner to where they need to be, that affects them, their spouse, especially if it's the man providing and the wife is at home with the children and like doing that type of stuff. She wants to know that the business is providing, that it's very secure. That goes for a lot of people. It could be the wife's doing that and the husband's at home, you know, no matter what, is making sure that that owner's getting what they need, because then all conversations like we've talked about become way easier, like with your spouse, children, business partners, especially if you have business partners, are like, is everyone getting what they need? Because usually it's not going to be the same amount if you have multiple people. So I would say be able to get to that number as fast as possible and be more aggressive on your way there. So like once you hit that number, then you can start playing with the other percentages of like, okay, maybe now more to profitability, maybe now more to OPEX if we need it, or less to OPEX and more to the tax account. But that's where being able to know I need to get to that number as quick as I can, because that's what's going to be the most benefit to the owner and usually give them the headspace to be the true visionary to go out and do more deals and make the big connections that they need to make, which brings more money in, which the more money you make, the less percentage you need in those accounts. Because if you're making more money, it's like now it's spread out more, you'll have excess, and maybe instead of 40% owner's pay, now it's 20% because you're doing double the amount of deal. So like it's just getting to that number as quickly as possible, because that usually frees up the owner to do more higher dollar per hour tasks.
Awesome. That's really helpful. And guys, the moral of this story is go buy the book.
There you go.
Learn the principles, the strategies. And also, I'm excited about that worksheet to work through that worksheet too. So where can anyone buy this book?
The one-stop shop is simplecfo.com. And on the top, there's for the book, our podcast. Also, if you want to work with us, there's like a schedule call button as well, too. Even if we're not the right fit, we've got a lot of good people in the financial space. If you're needing someone to help you and guide you, we have a fractional CFO business. So that helps people like set up this type of stuff. What's a fractional CFO? They're the ones that are like, if a bookkeeper and CPA are the rearview mirror, the CFO is the GPS. Where are you wanting to go? And how do we get you there and take the numbers from where we've been? Like making sure that it's translating into your actual destination. So if you go to simplecfo.com, has a link to the book. It's on Amazon as well too. So you can go there and get the book and the podcast and all the other stuff that we have there, education.
Awesome. All right. We'll link that in the show notes so people can easy to get to. Where else can they find you? Just go to simplecfo.com or?
I'm on Instagram as RichterScale91. And I also have Facebook as well too. I'm pretty active on there. I have a Facebook group, Profit First for Real Estate Investors. So if you're looking up there in a group there, we have usually questions several times a week on the system or like bank accounts and stuff like that. So I jump in there and do some live videos in there as well and some training on the Profit First system for real estate investors. Then if you want some of the tools too, I want to make sure like on a podcast that I give some more value here. If you go to simplecfo.com/gift, it'll actually, if you go there, it'll email you back some of the tools from Profit First, like some of the actual like allocation percentages, like how to allocate. My first book is in there too. I have part of the audiobook for, because now it's on Audible as well too, Profit First for Real Estate Investing. So give a portion of the audiobook there. So if you want some of that stuff, then you can get some more actual tools. Because like I said, I don't want you to have an excuse not to start building wealth and putting more money in your pocket. So go to simplecfo.com/gift.
All right. Last two questions.
Cool.
First, why did you originally pick real estate to achieve your financial goals?
Probably because Rich Dad, Poor Dad preached it so much. And because a lot of the books I had read too, that most millionaires had started off in real estate investing. And another thing was, when I first started, I wanted to give more too. I come from that kind of background for myself, have a great family, have a great upbringing, good solid foundation. And I felt like this would be a way to do that. I don't have like a crazy financial degree even in my background or like some prestigious college in my name. So I thought this would be a good way if I can apply myself and follow the steps of other wealthy people. This could be something that could actually help myself and then help the other people around me that I wanted to help too.
All right. Second question. If I gave you a time machine, you could go back in time, talk to younger David, what would be one piece of financial advice you would give him? And the answer could be listen to this episode we just recorded.
Right. I was going to say, listen to this or read Profit First. Or I think at that point in time too, it would probably be just keep investing in yourself. Like invest in yourself, like in mentorship and guidance. The more you invest in yourself, the greater the ceiling you raise on yourself too. It's like the law of the lid in John Maxwell. You can never be a leader past what your ceiling is.
Right.
So like keep investing in yourself to keep raising your ceiling. I've done that a lot of the time, but I think if I would have told myself that back then, because I used to shy away from expenses a lot. So I'd be like, oh, do I want to spend this or not? I think I would have told myself, to trust the other people in my life and to invest in myself more at that time.
I love that. Yeah. Investing in myself and the mentorship that I've had has been a game changer for me. I definitely would not be where I'm at today without it.
Yep.
It just adds rocket fuel where your goal is, right? It just gets you there so much faster without all the bumps. And I would recommend, whether it's David or someone else, if you're a smaller business, definitely getting a fractional CFO, because we're not all designed to do that type of work. So
exactly. And that's why it's a fractional business. It's a fraction of the cost and time versus having a full-time staff member. It's like almost having a mentor for the financial side of the business, which in most cases, we've seen this over and over again with the clients we work with. It's like a breath of fresh air. Like, okay, I don't need to kill myself to be asking these questions. Like, this is someone who knows what they're doing on the financial side. So that's why a lot of people hear CFO and they're like, chief financial officer, this is going to cost a ton. And it's like, no, we want to help you implement the things that will get you where you want to be. But this is not a full-time position. Because in the future, you might need to pay $250,000, $300,000 a year for a full-time CFO staff member on your staff. So wanted to at least give you a fighting chance.
And do you do this just for real estate businesses, or do you work with other bits as well?
We work with other types. I would say 90% right now is real estate because of the book and just like what I'm focused on. But we work with several other types of businesses as well too. Educators, service-based businesses, some even a trucking company. Like we've got several different types of businesses we work with.
That's awesome. Well, that's good to know because I know I'm in different businesses as well. And I know probably people listening to here are too. That's great to know.
Yes, real estate investors usually have other ones. One of our real estate investors we work with has a speedboat company as well too. That like when I saw that come through, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So we've got definitely some different types of businesses we work with.
That's awesome. Well, listeners, you should definitely check David out. This has been invaluable. So David, I really do appreciate you coming on here. I know you're a busy guy. And I'll see you in Nashville at the Investor Fuel Mastermind. I'm looking forward to that.
I will be there.
Thank you. And listeners, as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So always remember, it's not just working hard for your money, having your money work hard for you. All right, we'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.